This is the BC Resource Group's Path to Partner podcast, where we get exclusive insights from the leading figures in legal. And now, here's your host, Colin Moses.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, where we delve into the minds of some of the legal industry's leaders. I am your host, Colin Moses, and today we're very lucky to have with us Mark Dabbitton. Now, Mark is one of the rock stars over at Pepper Hamilton, where he works as special counsel. He has over 25 years experience in the regulatory and financial services niche and is a regular speaker at conferences nationwide, as well as having published a ton of articles. I thought it would be great to get Mark's take on things given the current economic climate. So, Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Cool. So, Mark, could you give us a little bit of info in your backstory?
Okay, so as Colin mentioned, I've been in financial services law in particular, actually dating back to 1990, when I spent 5 years as a senior attorney at the U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. Major employers include Morgan Stanley Discover Card, Citibank, JP Morgan Chase. Between those institutions alone, that covers 18 years of my experience, plus the five at the OCC. In 2000, and I had a brief stint with law firms back in the 90s after I left the OCC for a couple of years before I went over in-house to Morgan Stanley Discover. But then I re-entered the law firm environment in the fall of 2016. And for the past, roughly 3.5 years, that's been my life in building up practice. So business development efforts have been extremely critical to my success, because in my position, one difference between, say, back in the 90s when I worked briefly as an associate and what I'm doing now, I'm really responsible now for producing a lot of my own hours. Most of my hours, the vast majority, have to come from business that I acquire, versus right. There are special counsels who work as, fundamentally like an associate. I do some work for partners, but again, well over, maybe 3/4 of my work is really, for my own clients at this point. So one of the reasons, Colin and I spoke that he was interested in interviewing me is because of that emphasis that I have on having to develop business and not just do legal work, That's kind of already at the firm.
Right. So what are your thoughts on the current economic climate, Mark?
Well, it's tough. For me, as being very much focused on a new business development, key ways to do that are conferences, usually, speaking especially, because it gives you an opportunity to demonstrate your knowledge in a constructive way where people are getting value from it. But you also have that opportunity for interaction. There's no interaction. That's the problem now. And that's one difference that I think where a conference is vastly preferable over a webinar,
right,
is that you have that opportunity for the personal interaction. And right now, that's really the key thing that's missing. The other way that I've been successful in generating visibility, and visibility is what results, in work. Sometimes right. You might write an article that's, spot on and someone will call you. But just the mass of speaking and writing can get your name known so that you might be contacted about something. And the challenge right now with writing is that, so at the firm I work at, everything's focused on getting coronavirus materials out there. I've contributed to some of those materials. It's not my main focus, nor I hope, unless the thing becomes permanent, does it need to be.
Right.
But there's just such a big mass of it out there. And a lot of what's out there and a lot of what people are trying to do is keep abreast of the flow of new issuances that are coming out, new clarifications around CARE Act and different, programs that are available. And a lot of it is just reporting on what's been issued, what's there, not a tremendous amount of analysis. And so you have this massive volume of information out there. And if there isn't a lot of individualized analysis, it's going to be kind of homogenous.
Right.
But every firm wants to demonstrate to their clients that they're being responsive. And so we're putting these resources out there free, you know, basically a lot of it's free advice for folks to go out and, you know, and mine. That's a good thing. And it's important for your firm to stay relevant during the crisis and be perceived as being, you know, a source of assistance. At the same time, it does quell the usual kind of, you know, writing that I would want to do, where normally when I write an article, I don't write any articles that just say, here's what happened typically. And the reason for that is that, first of all, we're never going to be first. Usually we've read that something happened and then, you know, we're responding.
Responding to it, right.
And the other thing is that I see little value in just saying it happened. You want to say it happened and here's why it matters. And that's where you're going to be remembered and really make your mark. And with coronavirus, as I've said, it's hard to do that. And one of the reasons you don't have that depth of analysis, and there is some, and I don't mean to say that there isn't, but that you don't have the depth because people are so busy trying to keep pace with what's coming out that they don't have the opportunity to focus on really trying to digest stuff at a deeper level because they're already turning to the next body of information that's been issued.
Right.
So one thing that I've, you know, been able to do so far, you know, knock on wood, I've been reasonably busy. And I've been reasonably busy in part because I laid the groundwork for that.
Right.
You know, with the speaking, the writing, before the coronavirus. And so nice if you have projects that are kind of in the hopper that you can turn to. Appreciate that some of those projects are going to get delayed. They could get canceled. That's absolutely happened to me. And that's why you always want to have more than one iron in the fire, so right. that if one thing doesn't happen, you've still got something else. And if you've been good at making yourself known and visible and you have the wherewithal to do that, then you can get new business. I just got some new business yesterday where somebody reached out to me because basically, you know, reputation, word of mouth. It wasn't in response to any particular thing, but they knew who I was and, you know,
right.
said they wanted to hire me. That's great. Hire our firm. And the nice thing there is that matter is a firm, you know, something that others in the firm will definitely be drawn into. So it's a nice opportunity. And that came about because I was so active before this hit, you know.
Right, right.
Nothing I've done since. What I've done since, you know, one thing you can do and should do. So you're not hearing from your clients maybe right now because they're, you know,
panicking and worried.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
exactly. But you can always reach out and say hello.
Yeah.
And the way I would do that is just ask how they're doing and not say, how are you doing? And please give me some business. You know, it's more.
Yeah, no, that might seem a little insensitive.
No, it's more a matter of, are you okay? And,
yeah.
you know, miss dealing with them on a personal level.
Right.
And that's a subtle reminder that you're out there without, you know, doing anything that would seem like, oh, this guy's crazy. You know, here it's a pandemic and he's still not caring about health, but just looking for work. So,
right.
So that has to be approached in a manner, like I said, where you're really, you know, genuinely interested in how they're doing.
Right.
And, but that's a way to keep yourself out there, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you said you've already seen a few of your projects canceled. Have you seen any other impacts on your practice so far?
No, it's really been, it's that things don't seem to be moving at the same pace now.
Right, right.
And I use that in general terms. I mean, somebody can have a need, you know, and it is a rush for them and you get it done. And I was fortunate to have a project like that this past week, kept me busy all week, you know.
Yeah.
That's perfect. But, you know, there's going to be some slow times. And slow times, sometimes they're not a bad thing to have because it gives you an opportunity to really think about, okay, why am I slow and how can I prevent that? You know,
right.
How can I get more business, more clients, and think about you know, what things you might be able to do, write, speak, etc. And on that, you know, there's nothing wrong with coming up with a topic on your own. You don't always just have to be responding to stuff. You can also be proactive.
Right.
And you need to have some downtime to do that, to be able to take stock. So some downtime is not a terrible thing. Too much is. So,
yeah.
But I've done both, you know, of taking stock and then also being busy.
Cool. And what do you see for the foreseeable future as far as your practice goes and even the larger community as a whole?
Yeah. So it was really having a great year, you know, up until when this thing hit. I mean, yeah. That's an unfortunate aspect to it. In fact, so the week of March 16th, I was out at a client on site in California for 2 days of meetings for a big project that they had. And the second day got canceled and they closed the office, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, what should have been a nice piece of work is postponed indefinitely. And my wish here is that this thing gets through as fast as possible.
Yeah, I think that's everyone's wish.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the hope is you laid enough seeds and they're going to sprout and they'll hopefully sprout during this crisis so that you've got work. But it's tough. The challenge is this. It's tough to lay those new seeds, you know?
Right.
That's the real difficulty because you've got conferences and speaking completely taken out of the equation. My own personal experience is that webinars are nowhere near as effective.
Have you tried webinars?
Oh, yeah. And I personally don't have great success with webinars. Some people do. I tend to not. Again, because I get more out of the interaction.
Right.
Just sort of the spontaneous discussion that you can have when you're on site somewhere that you can't have with a webinar. The webinar, you give your talk, you ask if anybody has questions. They might. Typically, there's no more than a couple. And then you're done and, you know, the line's dead. Whereas with a conference, you can, you know, I've actually been able to form relationships just from being able to meet people and interact. So that's what I miss the most. And that's what I'm hoping, you know, somehow gets back on track. I was supposed to speak at a conference next week on an interesting topic. And now that's not going to happen, you know.
Right.
So you got to deal with it. I'll probably turn more to webinars now that the live conferences aren't available and make the most, you know, you got to make the most of what you have.
You definitely do, yeah.
You use the tools you've got. And if one tool, your favorite tool's not available, and, you know, it's like you can't find it in your basement workshop, you find the thing that you think works next best and might do the job. And that's what you have to do. You have to be flexible. And, you know, and be patient. I mean, you have to be patient because being impatient doesn't get you anywhere. And, you know, browbeating a client, pestering them won't get you anything but bad news, right?
Right.
You have no choice but to exercise patience and reflect on, okay, what will work to get, you know, more work in the door. Look for opportunities to do things that are there that you know you can do, even if it's not maybe the thing that you would enjoy doing the most. You do it anyway because you want to continue to produce.
Right.
And I think that's how you have to approach it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the webinars that you have done in the past, were they video webinars where they can see you speaking?
I was going to say, I think that that's going to be better. Most of them were not. It's just the voice. And
right.
I think that if they can see you, if you're a decent enough speaker, it's always better.
Yeah. You know, because there's just more interaction. You know, 90% of communication is, you know, nonverbal. So
that's right.
You know, you with that FaceTime, even though it's through the screen, you're going to resonate more with the people that with your audience than you would without the video.
Sure. So several years ago, I worked with a lawyer, a pretty smart guy, and he used to do his CLE by clicking on, you know, the web-based training And then every now and then he'd always sign up for things where it would, you know, beep or something would come up on the screen to signal that you're there. And he had that laptop in the corner and it was just playing by itself. And he would, you know, occasionally have to get up and hit the button.
Right.
But I fear that some people, that's how they attend a webinar.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you really need for it to be an interesting topic, hopefully somewhat unique. And I agree with you 100% that it's so much better if they can see you, not as good as in person, but better than just being a voice, because the voice, definitely, you could be the laptop playing in the corner and you didn't know it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the difficulty.
Exactly. What different things are you going to be looking to do? I know you've mentioned you're going to be looking to webinars to continue to grow your practice. Is there anything else you'll be looking to do during this time?
Webinars and then also writing. I write a lot.
Yeah.
I tend to write, you know, pretty much something on average almost every month for now, you know, during the time that I've been in Pepper Hamilton, September of 2016, I've written over 50 articles and many of them wind up being published. So I need to continue to do that because, you know, if you have a steady flow of materials that you're producing, I've had people tell me that they look for them, that they actually follow to see, you know, what else I'm going to produce. And you don't want to stop because then it's like, what happened? Maybe he died, you know? I mean, you got coronavirus. You have to keep on it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little bit more challenging though to get a non-coronavirus piece, you know, published. So maybe look to work the two together and find. Here's the thing that I find, again, with an article, as to kind of repeat myself here, I don't just say this or that came out or happened.
Right.
Because it's, by the time I'm doing that, it's really old news. So I'm always looking for, what is it about that thing that came out that nobody's spoken about that's different, that might pique somebody's interest in a way that those other "it happened" articles didn't. And if you can find a way to do that, then you have the opportunity to maybe differentiate your article from the mountain of stuff that, you know, that's already out there, because you're saying something, you're finding something that's of special value that nobody else spoke on yet. And that's really the kernel, because it's what will stick in somebody's mind.
Right.
And that's really important.
Right. Well, what we're finding is, you know, just being able to add value to your audience and your clients and the people that you want to do business with. So whether that's, you know, giving them a method of how they can navigate, like what we're doing now, how you can navigate and try and be successful in this time, or different ways that you can just try and help them through a period. If you can give them some advice that can resonate with them, then they're going to remember you when your services are needed.
Right. And that's the key. And I think that, you know, and that's what makes you somebody that firm is going to call versus not, is that they think that you can do something unique or valuable, that there's going to be a value add from what bringing you in that might not be there from somebody else. So that's the key. I mean, I've been moderately successful in building up a business which is steadily growing, and that's the way that it's done. And then when you have that opportunity, you always want to approach every assignment, small, large, you know, big dollar, small dollar, kind of the same way,
right?
With that focus, attention to detail, and, you know, the completeness, thoroughness, that you never know, they could have a big project a month later and you're the guy because you've demonstrated that you have quality of work. And that's kind of, I mean, to me, that's how it's done. You know, you get visible by the writing, speaking, looking for ways that are going to be effective in promoting yourself. And not doing those things that aren't, if they don't work for you, you know, you don't do them unless here you have to. And then when you get the opportunity, taking full advantage of it.
Yeah. I think another thing about the articles and the webinars and just writing and writing as much as you can, and you know, just being ever present is you're top of mind, aren't you? So
right.
It's not, oh well, you know, I heard from Mark or I heard from Colin 2 months ago and then you forget about them. But if you continuously coming out with things that are interesting and intriguing and providing value to your clients, then you're going to be top of mind when
that's right
when they need you. Yeah,
well, and you're also going to be sharp in mind yourself, because yeah. when you're not busy, you have to keep abreast and keep sharp, and one way to do it is to fill in those, you know, dead times with working on things that will get your work down the road. Because that's another thing that's really, to me, extremely important. And it's always keeping sharp so that if the next big thing comes along, you're on it. And you know, it's not like somebody's waking you up, man.
Right,
you've
right.
been, you know, on top of everything. And that's one of the reasons to do keep abreast of the coronavirus developments, is because you don't want to ever get caught napping where somebody says something and you don't have a clue what's going on. Right, you have right. to know. You have yeah. to know. And so even if it's not going to get you a billable hour, you still have to know enough to recognize, you know, what they're talking about. And if not, help them yourself, get them the advice that they need. But that's another really critical point, is to be perceived as somebody who is worth talking to because you know stuff.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, I know you've been in the industry for quite a while.
Yes.
Over 25 years. So you went through the crash of 2008. Do you see similarities between now and then?
Yeah, I do. You know, the one difference is I hope that this turns out to be, oh my God, you know, a shorter crisis. Because there was pretty entrenched, you know, knowledge that, hey, this is going to be around for a while, right?
Right.
It kind of came on a little bit slower. I mean, you know, they predict, well, we might have an economic downturn and so forth. This thing was
a couple,
you know,
months, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and just boom, and it's on you. And the longer it lasts, the greater the risk for more significant damage. So here's the thing. If it goes on longer than, you know, the next, I don't know how many, you know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, then it becomes much more like 2008, 2009.
Right.
Because now you're looking at a multiple year, you know, recovery and so forth. And that's very, very, very tough. So I hope we don't see it. If we do, you know, we got to deal with it. But I don't see the parallel. Is, of course, there's some parallel, but I'm hoping that it's not an exact parallel, that this thing again ends somehow sooner.
Well, do you think because of the, I guess, the underlying causes of the 2008 crash were financial,
yeah.
whereas the underlying causes of this is, you know, it's a pandemic that just came out of nowhere, that if we can, you know, say we come up with a vaccine, that the economy would recover quicker than, say, it did because of the fundamentals that caused the crash of 2008?
Yeah, if some things play out. So some major retailers are, you know, at risk of failing, and, you know, other employers might altogether fail if it goes on too long, and people might lose their job permanently. And one of the problems there is that every time you have mass layoffs, firms learn how to make do with less people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so the recovery, that folks who lost their jobs may not find jobs at the same level or pay, et cetera. So it's tough. If you're furloughed and it's temporary and you come back into your same job and you hit it in stride, no big problem. But if folks don't just get furloughed, but they get permanently laid off and it goes on for months and months, then you have the risk that the firm might decide that they don't need as many people, or because it's now been doing poorly for so long, and maybe they weren't doing great before, could fail potentially.
Yeah. So what kind of changes do you think we'll see going forward? as far as the way law firms operate? Like, do you think there'll be more lawyers working remotely now from now on?
It's possible that's true, because if you demonstrate that you're able to work well remotely, then, you know, a firm has to question, well, why do we need to rent 3 floors in a expensive high rise when one might do? You know, you come in when there's meetings and you're meeting with clients, but in the ordinary course, maybe you don't have to get together. And I can see that playing out, because even today, you know, you go in the office and honestly, somebody might work on the other side of the office from you, but the communication's mostly email and phone,
right,
and not face-to-face. The whole value of face-to-face is to interact with other lawyers. And if you don't need to be face-to-face to do it, then, you know, a firm could decide, yeah, you know, we don't need to have folks here, and we can get, you know, them to, the other advantage is to get to know each other sort of personally, socially,
right,
so that, you know, there's kind of a bonding, and, you know, maybe you
it makes for an easier working environment too.
Yeah. And so I think there's value to, I'm kind of an office guy. I go in even when I could work from home.
Right.
I like to keep my personal life and professional life separate that way.
Right.
But I know that many firms are going to smaller office spaces, you know, because of the effectiveness of working remotely, no doubt about it. I think it probably will make some permanent impact if this persists.
All right. So I'm going to wrap this up soon, but I wanted to ask you, other than everything we've spoken about so far, is there any other advice you might give to those that are trying to navigate these difficult times?
Again, I think just patience, you know, patience and perseverance. Perseverance is critical, because without that, you're not going to get through any crisis. You can't melt down. You have to stay focused and stay positive and always be optimistic that whatever efforts you're undertaking will ultimately, you know, bear fruit. And that's because if you have perseverance and you have that positive approach, you're not going to stop. If you stop, then that's when you're really in trouble. If you're moving forward, you'll figure out a way, you know? And so that's my advice, is patience and perseverance and a positive attitude.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Mark. I know you are working on a bunch of stuff right now. Where can we see some of the articles that you've been writing?
Yeah, so if you Google Mark Dabberton and the word insights, you'll see a list of a webpage will pop up with all the different conferences and articles. And in that insights page of Pepper Hamilton is really where you can see what I'm working on, you know, and get a feel for my practice and so forth.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Mark. Really appreciate it.
And, well, thank you for inviting me. Appreciate the time.
And stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you very much, Colin. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the BC Resource Group's Path to Partner podcast. BC Resource Group is the only corporate legal recruiter covering 97% of the market. For more exclusive content to see how we can help you with your recruitment needs, visit bcresourcegroup.com.